Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Hugh Weber is with us. He's the host of the Potluck Society podcast. You can find it at listen.sdpb.org. You can find it on iTunes or any other platform, Android, for your podcasts. Hugh Weber joins us on the phone now. Hugh, welcome.
It's so good to be back.
It's good to have you here. And Marshall Pollard, tell us a little bit about this person who came from Washington to South Dakota and toured the state.
That's right. So listeners will remember we talked to Marshall Pollard about his role as director of the Boies Institute. Mm-hmm. He was headed to Sioux Falls a couple weeks ago to join us for an event that didn't happen. And had come to speak from the stage and instead spent time talking to the people of the region. So even though the event wasn't occurring, he spent 4 days here. He spoke with economic development leaders from small towns and leaders of nonprofits, among Native Nations, creatives, leaders in the faith community. So I asked him to share a little bit of what surprised him during the visit.
I think to hear stories from people from South Dakota that represented a variety of different kind of dispositions, you know, just spend time with Bobby and thinking with the two of you around how do we really listen to the aspirations of our community and specifically kids, which connects to my story as an educator and as an activist and as a connector. And so that had some commonalities in the way that we see how people connect, how people communicate what they want in their life. And that theme right there was really what led kind of the rest of our trip. You know, what is it that, what quality of life do we believe we are inherent to? What quality of life do we aspire for? And to see different people's perspective towards that same answer. To spend time in Native communities on reservations, things that I had never done before, and to hear kind of the aspirations of Julie communicating her hopes or her what she believes is possible and true for the people of Cheyenne River. To hear the same, very similar kind of aspirations around wanting just equal and quality life on the Flandreau Reservation, where there's a bridge that is closed down to a gift to a community of hundreds of students, Native students who are there for boarding school but can't access the community because the bridge is shut down, to even spending time in your brother's church and listening to words that were being used around wanting for us and for our community to be to receive a gift this season and to be let free from that, right? Because of the gift of quality of life. And so that's where as our story progressed and met wonderful and talented people. I mean, South Dakota's got some incredibly talented people. That's another thing that sticks out just on the surface of meeting graffiti artists and storytellers and community builders and designers and activists and children who all have fascinating and profound stories that are often untold, but we got to hear a little bit of them and witness a little bit of them in this trip.
And Hugh, as you're with him, are you thinking, were you surprised and coming away with some of those similar responses, or were you at the point where you're like, well, yeah, that's South Dakota. Here's our diversity of thinking. Here are our aspirations. Here is our talent.
Yeah, I'm certainly proud of this place and proud of the people that live here, but I think it's something about the compressed nature of a visit like this, where over the course of 4 days, you travel kind of the length of the state and see such a diverse group of people with a diverse group of perspectives and yet with some consistency. And I think it's even the curiosity that Marshall brings on its face, an African-American adult male from Southeast DC that works primarily with young African-American boys may not have anything in common with what we're doing. And I was curious about how Marshall saw the time, how he was able to spend this time in South Dakota and what impact or inspiration it might offer to his work in DC. So just a week after his visit, I talked to him and he was already making some of these connections to the conversations, especially his visit to Flandreau.
I think the conversations that we were able to have in each, you know, specific part of the trip, every stop in the trip, it reminds you of the power of just, again, everyday people. And as we begin to further develop a model for young Black boys, kings in Southeast DC that focuses on academic wellness, personal wellness, and communal wellness, meaning that when a king wakes up in the morning, that what happens to him in that day, because we can't afford to lose any more time. The design was flawed from the very beginning, and so we have to create a new way, and we have to create the space to, just like, you know, sitting across from Barry, who is a native and he's a leader in his community, and sitting across from Barry is a bridge, you know, designer, a bridge builder, and sitting across from her is someone who has been in this community, was raised in this community, is a leader in this community. We have to create those similar spaces here in what we call the King's Network. We have to create the space where teachers and professors and creatives and people like yourself, Hugh, are able to say, when it comes to when the King wakes up in the day, academically, what does wellness mean? What does personal wellness mean? How do we make sure that I'm sure that students at the Philandrew Indian School, I think is what it's called, what would it mean to know how well these students are? They're probably coming from a place that it wasn't well. And so when they're here and they're a gift to this community and professors and teachers, like, how do we in Southeast just the same create the spaces where we can say, how is a king handling stress? Given that the world that was created on top of them, not designed for them, a narrative that they could never fit or be a part of, right? As we create a new one and share that new narrative, how do we make sure that they're personally well? And then lastly, again, communally well. How do we open up bridges, you know, literally in your place, and figuratively in mine, where we see more and more access to healthy fruit and vegetables because 3rd through 5th graders showed up and woke up in a day and said, 76,000 people live around me and we have one grocery store and that's not okay. And so how can we tell those untold stories by just creating space that, you know, I felt was created in our time in South Dakota and certainly is being created here, but how do we do that in a way that is strategic? How do we do that in a way that is connected to the grassroots and will remain at the grassroots so that we don't repeat these untold stories? That's where the curiosity is leading me and my team right now. I am thankful that South Dakota is, and the people, the Lakota people in particular, are deeply a part of driving that curiosity and driving that sense of possibility towards what if we could retell this story.
Huh. Hugh, I'm writing down his questions. Those are some really good questions. What does wellness mean? What does personal wellness mean? What does community wellness mean? How do we do it in a way that's strategic?
Yeah. I think that it, this conversation and knowing that this is the last time I'll join you this year, it kind of wraps up a year of conversations around the Potluck Society, right? These conversations that are communal, that have a very individual slice to them and an individual passion to them, but are connected to something bigger and broader and more communal. I think sometimes it's hard to see ourselves in our fullness. We're just too close to it. But through the eyes of others and outsider like Marshall, it can sometimes be easier. So I asked him just to reflect back on what he saw in all of us and how he would want us to see ourselves here as South Dakotans.
My initial response is to say, I see you, South Dakota. There are so many powerful people that I got to meet. Every person I sat across really loved their place. And that's something to say about you, Hugh, that you have created a community that has cultivated that, but nonetheless, I got to partake in it and to sit across from, again, people with a variety of gifts that didn't seem to be alone. They didn't seem like when we were sharing stories about their place and where in the state that they were coming from and the people in their communities that they were engaging creatively, it didn't seem like they were, you know, saying, I don't have anybody around me. I mean, we drove 2 hours to be with some of these people, you know, and other people did the exact same thing. So it didn't seem alone or forgotten. And I think that that's a really good way to capture my aspirations about how I will continue to get to know South Dakota as someone who has never been there before and had literally 4 out of 4 amazing days in this state. I'm sure there'll be some bad ones. I hear you guys do get snow in December. We didn't get to experience that, which was great. But I think it's that level or that belief that when there is a shared value, And I think the one that we had while we were together was just, again, this untold story piece. When there was this shared value of, there's something else that maybe we could learn about our own people, about our own place. And that's what really led us to drive 15, 16 hours across the state. That was what I saw in people, that they were genuinely, they were intrigued by those around them. And you don't get that everywhere. You don't get that people who are in the creative class or whatever you want to call it, you know, genuinely want to know the stories of those around them, especially when that comes to differences in privilege and differences in story and origin story of wealth and of education and of being from South Dakota or not. I thought that there was just a lot of folks who maintained a commitment to being, you know, curious about those around them.
Hugh, do you think the people that Marshall Pollard met while he was here really received that message from him? Or I guess what I want to know is how did the interaction change? We kind of saw here how it influences Marshall going forward. How does it influence the South Dakotans that Marshall visited with?
Yeah, I think, and I don't want to speak for any of them individually or to any of them individually, but I think collectively, Marshall and the conversations that we set up, and even some of the diversity in the individual meetings where there was, you know, leadership from the Native community, but also an engineer from that knew the structure of a bridge, and also leadership from the non-Native community. I think even the diversity of some of the conversations created a space of vulnerability and openness. And I'll say I had conversations about race and culture, about the future of this state that I've never had. That happened, I think, as a function of that outside voice being there, a voice in a mind of curiosity, but also just the space to have those conversations and feel safe and comfortable in them, which is really all I've hoped to do with the Potluck Society. So it was a fantastic culmination of that year journey.
What was it about Marshall that sort of, you know, was it about the way that you gathered, or was it about the kind, was it he asked those really smart questions? It can't entirely be just because he was from the outside, because plenty of people come here from the outside and don't have that depth of experience.
Yeah, I think it was his willingness to remain curious. There were different things that happened throughout the trip that I think could have ended that curiosity. He noted some of the murals in the state capitol are a little problematic if you look at them in a cultural or racial context. And I think he could have allowed that to shut down that curiosity. And it remained there for him throughout his visit. So I think it was the quality of the questions. I also think the fact that his work is inherently hard. It's inherently messy, and people that have had some exposure to the conversations around the creative school and everything he's building there know that he's deep in the work. And it opens them to be a little bit more honest, perhaps, about the work they're doing and the messiness of their own creative or community process.
All right, I'm going to give you a minute to answer this question from your perspective. Famous last minute. After a year of doing the Potluck Society, what insight do you have about South Dakota that you didn't have before this year?
Yeah, I think it's been a full arc of a year, to the extent that it's something that I knew, but something I didn't realize the richness, which is how absolutely layered and nuanced the people of this state and the broader region are. It's super easy to look at someone and say they're an artist and overlook their deep tendencies towards community building, or to see someone that's a farmer and overlook the painting they do, or the welding and folk art they do, or the poetry they write. I think that what I've seen time and time again is that with enough time to have a real conversation, often facilitated by a good meal, that there is an extraordinary story to tell in almost everyone we share this region with. And those stories really are limitless.
Hugh Weber is the host of the Potluck Society. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts or listen.sdpb.org. Hugh, thanks so much.
Thank you.